Hey guys, it's me, Nick Z, back again on the On Deck Circle podcast, brought to you by the Fantasy Six Pack. I hope everyone's enjoying their day. It is absolutely freezing here in Boston. Boston Public Schools actually got canceled, which is kind of crazy. I think it's just because all the teachers are sick, but whatever. My man Jason, come on in, please. It's a happy week for you, my Chicago brethren. You're excited about them getting rid of...
There is change on the horizon.
Nagy and Pace.
Yes, which is kind of funny because here in Chicago, we kind of looked into a little bit, maybe too much than we should have, but like... So, first thing in the morning, obviously the Vikings fire, at the same time they announced the firing of their coach and GM.
Yep.
So then Bears come out and say, oh, we fired Nagy. And then it seems like, you know, 15, 30 minutes go by, nothing, no news on Pace. All of a sudden, Shefty tweets out, they fired Pace as well. It almost seemed like they wanted to keep Pace, or they were planning on it, but then they kind of thought secondly on it. We're like, wait, we can't not fire Pace when, you know, all these other guys are being, you know, the GM and the coaches being fired. So that was kind of funny. It seemed like they kind of were like, oh, wait, we should probably fire Pace too.
And yeah, then if you're a coach and you see a GM get fired first, you're packing your bags up.
Yeah, exactly.
I do like when they fire the coach first because then, like, you can kind of figure it out.
Yeah. I want to get some optimism here, but it's, again, you know, we still have the same president of operations, the same ownership that's been doing the same BS for as long as I can remember. So I don't have infinity of optimism, but there is optimism because there's going to be something better.
Yeah. All
right. And it is freezing here too, just so you know. It was like, it's been in like single digits. Yeah.
Crazy. My dog had her little jacket on today.
Nice. Nice.
So that was fun. I just got home from work. I just ate cold soup. Fun for me. I'm a big fan of cold soup.
Oh.
Yeah. It's probably like my worst trait. It's like that and like mostly just that.
There's not a lot of like food that I'll eat that should be warm that I'll eat cold. Like I'm not even a fan of like cold pizza. You know, people are always like, oh, cold pizza.
I'm lazy because I'll just take something out of the fridge and eat it, but I actually enjoy food when it's cold.
Oh, like, no.
I don't like cold pizza actually, but like.
Yeah. That's one of those things where people are like, yeah, I love cold pizza. I'm like, I prefer it warm. Like I'll even throw it in the microwave. I'll let it be soggy. I don't care. I want it warm.
Dave, come in. I know you're going to be like, stop talking about food and football. It's just a baseball podcast.
Listen. I had my finger hovering over allowing myself in just because I am like, I'm very much like Jason. Probably I have to be worse. Like the only thing that I can think of that I would eat cold is like ice cream. Like, I mean, obviously like how are you going to have warm ice cream, but, even like this is how weird I am. Like for real, if I make like just like a regular ass like turkey sandwich, right?
Mm-hmm.
I swear to baby Jesus, I will throw that son of a bitch in the microwave for like 20, 30 seconds to warm it up. That like if you gave me cold pizza, I would just
slap you.
like not interested. I mean, first of all, I have the palate of like a kindergartner. So let's just start with that. But I think food tastes bland and doesn't have the same taste when it's cold.
Yeah.
So I literally can't think of anything that I would eat cold. So like soup, for example, like to me, that's just disgusting. Like I would have to be like seriously hungry,
like the power's out or something and you can't reheat it.
I would just do something else. Like I would eat just about anything else. Like anything cold, just I cannot. If it can be warmed up, I'm warming it up. Yeah. I mean, yeah, like obviously I'm not gonna like microwave Doritos or something stupid, but if it can be heated up, I guarantee you I'm heating it up. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, you didn't ask Jason a question, so I'm going to assume then that we're just going to skip the question this week. Since
let's jump right in.
It would be unfair to ask me a question.
It would be.
And I think we've had a nice little discussion ahead of time here anyway. So let's head on into our deep dynasty dive here. Detroit Tigers. So I finally get my team in the mix here, before we get into too many things. And again, just in the essence of saving time, since we're going to be talking about top 25 ranked dynasty outfielders and then top 10 prospects for the outfield, we're just going to make it a little simpler. And we're each going to take one of these three categories, hitter, pitcher, and prospect, and move things along. The rankings are more the meat and potatoes of what we got going on here. So I've got hitter. I'd be happy to let one of you gentlemen go first if you wish. All right, Nicholas, what do you got? Nick.
All right, so I'm going to need help with this one, mostly from you, Dave, because this is mostly just me bringing things up, and you're going to tell me that I'm wrong.
Okay? Well, so you have pitcher, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
All right, I think there's only three logical options that you could have picked. I think, and don't give it away because I do want to guess. Think you either pick Mize, Manning, or Scooble.
Yep.
If it was me personally, I would pick Mize.
Because he's the worst out of the three.
Well, I think he's the best out of the three. But I think the most interesting name, and I think the guy that you actually picked is Manning.
No, it's Mize.
You picked Scooble? Oh, you did pick Mize.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, as someone that does not watch Tigers baseball, like at all, like can't say I've watched other than when they play the Red Sox. And even then, I'm like, I don't care. Is Casey Mize as good as we thought he was going to be? Because I feel like he's not.
So Casey Mize is a better real life pitcher than he is a fantasy pitcher.
Okay.
And it's simply because he does not have elite strikeout numbers.
Yeah.
And he never was going to have elite strikeout numbers. So yeah, he is definitely a better real life pitcher than the fantasy. I mean, he should give you good ratios.
And innings. Like last year he got 150, sure. Which is young guy.
Yeah, he seems like a guy who I don't see him like leading the league in innings, but
no.
But yeah, he should get you pretty decent ratios. I mean, if he does give you good innings, then that's kind of the only way that his strikeouts are going to be more in play. You know, if he's throwing 220 innings and a lot of other guys maybe are throwing, you know, .175, .180, maybe, that's an extra, 15, 20, strikeouts maybe.
Yeah.
So that kind of closes the gap a little bit, but he's more of a ratio guy. Fingers crossed, he gets you some of those random wins that you can't predict.
Yeah.
He should not be the ace of your rotation, but he should be a solid. You know, if he's your third best pitcher, you're probably in good shape.
Now, as a Tigers fan, are you okay with him being your ace in real life baseball?
Like I said, yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, he seems like he's dependable. I mean, we had some injury concerns, when he was a prospect.
Yeah.
But he never, that really wasn't a thing prior to that. It hasn't been a thing since then. And I don't know that you can ever, if you're depending on one guy to stay healthy and that's a pitcher, then you're already in trouble. Is he like an absolute ace? Well, he's certainly not now.
Yeah.
If he gets his ratios up to an elite level and not just, good ratios, then that would help him. I'm not sure that I ever see the strikeout numbers really, really skyrocketing, because that's not really the way he pitches.
Mm-hmm.
But if he was the best pitcher on my team, I think that's doable. I think he can be your ace. Doesn't mean he has to be an ace in all of baseball, but if Manning and if Scooble live up to their potential, both of those guys have a higher upside than Casey Mize.
Yeah.
But Casey Mize's floor is just superior to theirs. So in a perfect world, Casey Mize really becomes the number three on that team.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a more perfect world, you almost have like a three-headed monster where each guy is just good for their own reason, you know. You know, Scooble is most likely to be the super high K guy with mm-hmm. ratios that you wish were better. Manning's a little bit of a mixture of the two where, you know, he does have the ability to strike guys out. And he doesn't have a super high ceiling for ERA and WHIP because he just his command lacks. But he should be better than Scooball there. And then you got Mize, who
he's is just
you
your know, noble steed.
He's just the guy that goes out there, should get you innings, should keep you in games, but he's not going to, you know, go out there and, you know, strike out, you know, 15 guys. So
he's the one you text at like 11 p.m. and they always answer.
Sure.
You know, I think everyone sees the first overall draft capital and they want some instant ace out of the gate that's just going to come out and swing, strike out 12, 15 guys, you know, a start. But I think, yeah, like they said, he's a great floor guy.
Okay. Thanks for educating me, guys. Yeah. Per usual.
Yeah. Well, long as I'll jump in next here. And I have prospect, which is actually kind of shocking. I thought for sure Dave would jump on the prospect, but
no,
you know, he passed it off on to me. So I'm going to go with more of a newcomer to the mix here. And it was a first-round pitcher in 2021. However, it was not Jackson Jobe. That was a little bit low-hanging fruit there. And I guess you'd call it first-rounder, but it's more the end of the first. It was Ty Madden. You know, he was a front-end starter at University of Texas. He's got a solid pitch mix, a fastball, slider, changeup, and then sometimes a curveball. You know, he lives down in the zone, throws a really heavy fastball with a lot of sinking action to it, which actually, and ironically, is not what you want nowadays. Everyone's living up in the zone in baseball, which is really weird to think of. But yeah, that's – so I think a lot of people are maybe a little bit lower on Madden just because, you know, he's pitching more down in the zone. And then in his first three seasons – or sorry, his all three seasons at Texas, he had a 2.59 ERA and 200 strikeouts and 181 innings pitched. You know, he's a college pitcher, so I can see him moving quickly through the Detroit system here in 2022. I feel like he's got probably more of a SP3, but I think if things, you know, if he can develop a little bit better on the secondary pitches, I could see him have a ceiling of a SP2. Again, it's a back end of the first round in 2021 draft, so not too high or well-known guy. You could probably maybe sneak him in a deal if someone's not too high. Obviously, right now people probably haven't had their first-year player draft. But if someone, if you're looking in your draft here, you could grab them. I don't know, maybe late second round even.
Okay.
First-year player draft. I mean, to be honest, he's a guy that would be hard to trade for because anyone who owns him obviously just drafted him in their first-year player draft. So
they're in love with him.
Yeah. So to get any guy, you know, in the first-year player draft at any sort of a discount, I would say you pretty much would have to trade for a pick and then you select him.
Somebody
has fallen in love by doing research on a guy that they don't know anything about. And so if you wanted to get a guy like a Ty Madden, you're gonna overpay right now. If you really, really liked him like that, then really your best bet, I think, would be is to just let the guy have him for a year, because it's not like he's coming up anytime like in the immediate future. So let him have the guy for a year. And then next year, you know, the next year's class is astronomically, at least at the top, astronomically better than this year's class. But so maybe next year, if you truly think that, you know, he's a guy, you could swing a third next year or a second next year when that draft is approaching or when that draft is happening. And that might be the time you get him. You try to get him now, it's just not, you know, you're probably not going to get him for a reasonable price. So letting him sit on someone else's bench or someone else's roster spot or minors roster spot for a year isn't going to change a damn thing. That would be my suggestion if you're looking for any first-year player guy. Let somebody own them for the next year and then go get them. And, you know, hopefully they'll lose a little bit of luster. Now, if Ty Ben goes out there and absolutely dominates, then you might, you know, then you might just not be able to get him at all. So my suggestion is if you want a guy like that in the first year player draft, just go ahead and get him. Like, for example, in one of my leagues, I wanted to get Jackson Job, mostly because I'm a homer and, you know, like, I care about the league, but, you know, but I like to get my guys. So
yep.
He was available. There was a guy up at the sixth pick in the first round. And as a matter of fact, Jordan Lawler was still on the board. And I reached out to the guy because he's a guy that likes to make a lot of deals. And so I said, hey, love to get pick, you know, love to get this pick from you. And I can't remember what I gave up, but I gave up like pick like 1-9 or something like, or 1-8 and like a second round pick a couple years down the road, or like a third, I think it was like a third round pick just to move up a couple spots. Because I wanted to make sure I got him. Everyone thought that I was making a trade to get Jordan Lawler. And that's what a normal, smart person would do. And instead, no, I went Jackson Joe because I didn't think I didn't want to take the chance that he wasn't available at whatever it was, eighth or ninth pick. I'd rather just give up a third round pick, get the guy that I want. Because if somebody would have drafted him ahead of me, guarantee you, I went to be able to say, hey, let me give you a pick, you know, now, you know, that's on the board now, and you can have a third round next year as well. They go, no, I want Jackson Job. I would have had to give up, you know, what, a first next year? You know what I'm saying? So
Right. Once
somebody owns them, their value becomes different. That's just my opinion. So I have hitter then, and honestly, a guy that I've always liked. So even well before he was on the Tigers, I always thought he was a little bit underrated. And then now that he's on the Tigers, I kind of see it with my own two eyes. And again, he may be a better real life player than a dynasty player, because for dynasty, I don't know that he drastically moves the needle, barring like, you know, some like deep 30 team league or something. But Jonathan Scope is a guy that, you know, I've just always liked. And he puts up better numbers than you would expect. I think that a lot of times, you know, you can draft him. Like in a lot of these mocks and stuff that we do, like it's amazing how late he's available and how many guys get drafted that I personally like a lot less than Jonathan Scope. Because he doesn't really have anything super going for him, you know, like. If you look at his numbers from last year, which are just fine, especially whenever you consider, you know, where he goes, you know, where he gets drafted. Like, for example, even in my rankings, and I have him a little bit high, I've got him at 205. So if you think about it, if you're in a 15 or, you know, if you're in a 16 team league, which is relatively common, you know, you're talking about getting him in like, what, like the, what is that? Like the 12th round? You know, that I'd say that's pretty good. But anyway, so last year, I mean, 22 home runs, that's not too bad, especially if he still had, you know, second base eligibility for you. You know, that's pretty decent. 84 RBIs. I mean, nothing to scoff at there. 278 average doesn't sound like a lot. And it's not much, you know, it's not much better than average. But when you've got so many guys that are, you know, hitting 230, 240, a 278 is pretty decent. If you do on base, he's at 320, so that's on the low side. Nobody on the Tigers really walks. And then, you know, his OPS is 755. You know, that's not great either. But, I mean, you're getting pretty decent power. You know, he's a guy that, you know, hits in the middle of that lineup and gets consistent at-bats, consistent playing time. So I feel like that's a guy, especially if you've got, like, you know, middle infield and, you know, corner infield spots. I think if you have him is that, I think you're in decent shape. If he's your starting first baseman or your starting second baseman, you're probably behind the eight ball a little bit. But corner infield, middle infield, I think he's a quality option in those spots. So that's a guy that I think I'm higher on. And maybe just because I see him a lot, but I actually, like I said, was a bigger fan of him than most. Even back when he was with the Orioles, I just always thought his numbers were better than he gets credit for.
Yeah, I mean, he's been criminally undervalued, I think, in his career.
Probably because of the Orioles.
Well, and then the Tigers.
Well, the Orioles were good when he was there.
Yeah.
Good, I mean, like, all right.
But, I don't know. That's my two cents. So that's a little bit of a deeper option. I mean, it's not like the Tigers have anyone that you're going to rush out to get, except for some prospects. You know, even their pitching, I don't see a lot of people rushing to get Mize. I don't, especially after Manning's, you know, rookie debut. I don't see a lot of people rushing to get him. Scooble is probably the more popular target. But as far as like bats are concerned, you know, there's nobody that's not a prospect that, you know, that I think, you know, if you do own, that you would get more than value for. And they're not any guys that, you know, you're targeting. So the guys you're targeting are guys that are going to be hard to get, you know, your Torkelsons, your Greens, you know, like guys like that, you know.
So just looking at his numbers since 2016. So was that last 6 years, excluding 2020, it's at 20 home runs every year. Wow. Or more.
And I mean, for a guy that's got second base is a lot better now than it was
right
2 years ago. Even like second base used to be a dumpster fire. Now second base gets a little on the deeper side of things. You know, when you start getting a Trey Turner and a Mookie Betts that, you know, are probably eligible in a lot of leagues, all of a sudden that really puts some depth into that position. So yeah, once upon a time, whenever, you know, second base eligibility meant a little more, that really was part of the reason why I think, you know, Scope's value was a lot higher than, you know, than maybe what you would expect. But let's get into these outfielders here. We're going to go 25. And so we're going to have to move a little bit here since we're already at the, you know, or a little over 20 minutes. So let's just get right into 1 through 5 here. You know, with these deep positions, you know, you're going to go through quite a few spots before, you know, you really start to get too thin. But the one thing I will say about outfield is, you know, with just about any league you're in, at the minimum, you're having 3 outfielders. A lot of them, you play 5. And so you'd be surprised. You think of outfield as a very deep position, but I always find myself in these mocks kind of trying to force myself into drafting outfielders early if I can, because it really thins out. You know, I mean, even once we start getting into like 16 and beyond here, the names really start to go down. And if you're in, you know, 12 to 16 team league, you know, that means, you know, theoretically everyone gets one, you know, really good outfielder, and then it really starts to go downhill. As a matter of fact, in a mock I'm doing right now with, it's like guys that were on Dynasty One Stop's commissioner's office. We're doing a Dynasty One Stop commissioner's office mock, and I had pick 16. So I had to turn 16, 17. I got Luis Robert and Yordan Alvarez, outfield. Yeah. It wasn't exactly intentional, but now my outfield is going to be in good shape because that's a five outfielder league, middle infield, corner infield. You know, it's got the whole thing. So to start off with 2 outfielders, now I don't feel like I'm going to have to reach for outfielders in that league. I feel like I can just kind of take what the board gives me, you know. But talking about outfielders here, the first one may or may not, you know, stick around with this eligibility, and I guess theoretically may not even have it in your league, but Fernando Tatis Jr., you know, pretty much anywhere, I think now he's going to have outfield eligibility for at least this year. I've got him number 1 overall. I got Juan Soto at number two overall in the rankings as well. Got Ronald Acuna, third overall in the rankings. So it goes outfield. The one I'm most interested to hear your guys' opinion on is my number 4 is Mike Trout. You know, little bit of a drop. I mean, he was number 1 for me for a while, and he slowly worked his way down due to injury, due to age a little bit. I mean, you know, the age of, you know, the guys ahead of him is drastically different than Trout. I mean, Trout's not old by any means, but compared to some of this other talent, you know, all of a sudden Trout starts to look old. So Trout's down to 8th overall in my overall rankings. And then I got Bryce Harper coming in 5th at 11th overall. So top 5 go Tatis Jr., Soto, Acuna, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper. Specifically want to hear about Trout, but what do you guys think about the order there?
Yeah, I mean, this is like that top tier where it's like you can't really argue one over the other.
Those people won.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, the Tatis Jr., obviously I agree with him. A lot of people want to put, you know, Soto as number 1, even in OBP leagues, but I think Tatis Jr. with that power gives him that little bit of boost and the speed over Soto. Again, the Mike Trout, I do agree with that because I don't, you know, like I said, he's now 30 years old, which again isn't old, but when you look at Tatis, Soto, Cunha, those guys are all 23, 24 years old. That's 7 years older than Trout. So you're talking about almost the same type of production for 7 more years if he continues on that trajectory. So I can kind of see, And I honestly, I wouldn't even be opposed to putting even Harper after that strong 2021 ahead of Harper could Trout.
It's
cool. Again, splitting hairs. This is all that main tier of guys where you're not going to be upset having any of these guys on your roster. But yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know if he was just injured all year. I know that he missed the majority of the year, but we saw a huge decline to Mike Trout. And I don't know if that was, you know, the beginning of the year, can you really blame it on injury? I'm not sure, but we saw his strikeout rate increase. Mm-hmm. The power numbers are way down in the last year. So I could theoretically see him even falling out of the top five.
Well, and for me personally, the reason that he keeps dropping is because I don't know what to expect from him stolen base-wise. Mm-hmm. If we get back to Mike Trout, you know, stealing 20 bags, all of a sudden it becomes a much different conversation. And he very well might stay four if those other guys don't take a dip anywhere else. But, I mean, as I look at, as I'm looking ahead to, you know, the guys that are 6 through 10, I could easily argue to where I could see Trout going ninth. I mean,
yeah.
If his stolen bases don't come back at all, he probably drops down to like ninth, or at least he could. I'm not saying he would, but you know, it wouldn't be tough to see.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think I'd put Soto first still. It's, again, like we've said, you can really interchange any of those top three.
I mean, I've gone back and forth. So when I first started doing the rankings, it's either Trout or it's Acuna. It's Trout or Acuna. It was really close. I started off with Trout, and then it worked its way to Acuna. There was a few minutes where Soto was number one, and now it's worked itself to Tatis is number one. So those four guys over the last couple years have all kind of worked themselves around that top four. This is just where we sit now.
Updated ones that you're working on now too?
Yeah, is updated. Yeah. So I'm updated through somewhere around 350.
Nice.
And I'm not going to put nearly as much time and effort into like the bottom 500 is a top 500.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like, you know, you could look at number 600, number 700, and you could flip them. You could flip them, and it's not that big of a deal. But yet, if you were to flip, you know, Mike Trout and Nick Castellanos, you know, who are nowhere near, you know, 100 spots apart, like that's a massive difference, you know. So I'm not going to put nearly the amount of effort into those next, but the top half. You know, that's where everyone looks. I like to do the rankings, you know, going so deep so that, you know, guys that are looking for fairly obscure players have a spot to find a ranking, you know. You know, if you own Jake Bauer still, you know, good luck finding him out of rankings anywhere. But you know what? He's 918th for me. If you're interested in a once heralded prospect that has really fallen off, John Torres. Good luck finding anything about him anywhere, but you know what? He's 913th for me. You know, your guys like, you know, a guy we've talked about on this podcast a few different times, Tirso Ornelas. Good luck finding him anywhere. I got him 945. So, you know, I intentionally go deep like that, because it gives us a little bit something different. And here's my favorite comment of the entirety of our series.
Yeah.
Thank you, whoever you are and whatever you're typing.
I agree with everything he said.
For those who are not seeing this live and are just listening to this, it looks like we got a bot comment. I don't know what that is, but it's not in English and it doesn't look real, but whatever. Yeah.
We'll take a
bot comment. So let's get 6 through 10. I got Kyle Tucker, number getting 6.
Spicy out here.
Yeah, coming in 13th overall.
Number 10. Holy crap.
Yeah, number 7 is wait a minute. Let's see. So fun fact, Jason put these in for me, and it looks like Jason skipped prospects.
I put that at the bottom. I think I sent you a text on that. I wasn't sure if you wanted it in there.
All good. But anyways, number 7, Mookie Betts, coming in 14th overall. Number 8 is Yordan Alvarez. That's my dude, coming in 15th overall. Luis Robert, 9th, coming in 16th overall. And in reality, Julio Rodriguez would be there at number 10.
Right.
But Jason separated the prospects. So if we're just talking MLB, Jared Kelenic or Kelenic or however the fuck he wants to say his name, that's where we start to see a drop. Because we go Tucker, Betts, Alvarez, Robert, or Robert are literally 13, 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
And then we drop down quite a bit. We go down to 27th with Kelenic. So curious what you guys think of that, even though Julio Rodriguez really does slide in there. I've got Julio Rodriguez
10th.
25th overall. So there's still the drop. There's still a drop. He's two spots ahead of Kelenic, but what do you guys think there?
Yeah, I like these rankings. These are the type of those that next tier of guys, which like the young and up and comers with Tucker, Alvarez, Lubob, Kelenic. These are the next guys that, like, you know, in 5 years, you could see in that top five, you know, if the director keeps on that way, especially with Alvarez and Tucker, those two guys. And this is also that like nice power speed combo guys. You know, you're getting 2020 yeah. seasons, 30 seasons from Lubob possibly and Tucker. Yeah.
Alvarez.
Yeah. So I really like this. For me, this is the type of guys that, like, in a startup dynasty, these are the guys you're targeting, or I am at least. I know, obviously, if you got, like, the top end of the first round, you're going to take those top five guys. But if you're at the back end of a startup, these guys are all over. I'm all over these guys, especially Tucker and Lubob. Those guys, great power-speed combos. And we're just going to see them breaking out now in 2021.
As long as they stay healthy,
mm-hmm.
you know, they very well, either one of them, could be a top five outfielder for you
right.
in any given season. I mean, because if something lacks, if they, you know, if they're a little lacking in speed, they literally are 5-tool guys. So, you know, they can make it up everywhere else. Or if they're having, you know, their batting average isn't quite so hot, well, you're still making it up everywhere else. So that's kind of the draw of getting guys that can do everything is when it all clicks, all of a sudden you have a potential like MVP, you know, caliber player. If something's lacking, you still probably have 5-4 of the categories, you know?
Yeah, Alvarez probably won't be outfielder for long, right?
Probably. Yeah, I could see him falling to DH only after this season.
I disagree. The reason that I have targeted him in leagues is because I think he will maintain outfield eligibility.
Yeah?
Well, I agree because, you know, we got the interleague play, so they're going to want his bat in the lineup. So when he goes to the interleague games, I mean, they're going to put him in the outfield. And he did play like 40 games last year in the outfield. So,
yeah, I mean, he was coming off, you know, a pretty big injury. Yeah, exactly. With the knees. So if he got outfield eligibility last year, whenever
he should hold it,
taking it easy on him, then I don't know why he wouldn't continue that. I mean, unless all of a sudden the Astros just are stacked in the outfield, you know, depending on your league, he might only need 5 or 10 games in the outfield. That's playing like once every 2 weeks. If he were to strictly go to DH, then that would alter my rankings. If he's only available, I mean, unless your league has a DH spot, then all of a sudden now that makes him valuable because sometimes filling that DH spot can be hard. But if he becomes a guy that's only available at like a utility spot, then to me that does affect his ranking because he becomes a lot less valuable to me. Let's get 11 through 15 here. We go Eloy Jimenez, 29th overall. Aaron Judge, 32nd overall. Big jump for Cedric Mullins. He's up to 33rd overall. Wow. Starling Marte comes in 39th overall. And then Austin Riley, another pretty big jump, comes in 40th overall. So 11 through 15, Jimenez, Judge, Mullins, Marte, Riley. So some new names kind of up there. What do you guys think?
I only like one of them, and that's Starling Marte, just because of the stolen bases. Because
the oldest of the group.
Yeah, I don't know. Eloy's good. Judge, fuck that guy.
Yeah. There's Mullins a lot of this. Really every good. One of these guys, to me, is a question mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a question mark with everyone.
Riley's had like a good couple months, and then that's kind of it. Mullins literally just put shit together.
Yep. Marte's on the older side. What do you get from him speed wise? Can Eloy and Judge stay healthy? I mean, that's a very risky.
That's a
very risky group of guys right there. Those are probably all guys that I would avoid, honestly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I would skip that tier. And I mean, geez, but like I said, it starts to thin out quick, right? Like,
yep.
Even though each team has, starts three outfielders, real life team starts three outfielders, you've got a huge pool. We're to 11 to 15, and we're already starting to poke some huge holes. Hell, that shortstop where there's only, one guy out there, you can get to the 11, 15 mark, and, it's similarly questionable. So that's what I mean about if you don't grab an outfielder or two early. I mean, not like there's anything wrong with these guys. They're all great. They're all great pieces. And, they're all top 40 assets. But, boy, it's a different discussion than the previous five guys.
That's crazy. These five are so funny.
Yeah,
it really does start to get a little dicey. I mean, if you had two of these guys out of this five as your two best outfielders, it's not like you're in bad shape.
Yeah,
no,
you just don't. I mean, do you really want to have your best outfielder be outside of this group? I mean, like I said, it gets thin, man. It's thin.
Jason, keep Trent out of these five. Go.
So I was just going to say, of all of these, I'm taking the biggest gamble on Eloy. I think he's got the biggest upside of all of them. But again, it's a small sample. Can't stay healthy. What was it? So I'll keep him. What was it? Keep, cut, and trade then?
Yep.
I'm going to trade Cedric Mullins. The value can't be higher than it is right now after a 30-30 season. Only done it one season.
Good point.
And what was it on cut?
Yep.
Oh, that's tough. I'm going to cut Judge. And the only reason I say Judge over Riley is because Riley, I think, still has third base eligibility. So I'm going to keep the multi-position eligibility on my team.
I would have cut Marte.
See, I agree. I thought about him too, but I think of these, he's the only, other than the other two, the three that are left, he's going to offer me speed, possibly, at least more than the other three.
From a dynasty perspective, he's just The one thing that's different about all of these guys to me is Marte's age.
Yeah.
So I mean, nothing against the guy, but that's what I would say. So let's get through.
I'd rather have Buxton than any of those guys. And okay, Buxton's not even here.
No, we'll get to Buxton. So 16 through 20, we got Nick Castellanos at 42nd overall, Teoscar Hernandez at 45th overall. So quite a nice jump there for Teoscar. Jesse Winker, 53rd overall. Randy Arozarena, 54th overall. And Ketel Marte at 55 overall. So that's 16 through 20. Again, start to get to some – everyone here has got their holes. What stands out to you guys here, 16 through 20?
I love Marte. I've always loved Marte. But I think he's the one I'd want the most out of this group of five.
He might be the biggest question mark out of the whole group.
I think Teoscar is. He's kind of a
seems
like a blimp type of guy.
If I'm picking any of them, it's Arozarena at the moment.
I 100% agree.
The age is in his favor. He's got the highest. The speed is there. The bat is there. I mean, he's going to be
a good team.
Exactly, and I was totally with you, Nick. I am not a Teoscar Hernandez fan, but he just continues to prove it on the field. So until he's not going to, I can't just shut him out. Because even I think at the beginning of 2021, in my article of the buy and sell, he was a sell to me. I did not see him repeating what he did in 19 and 20. But he even outperformed those.
Yeah,
he outperformed his 19 and 20 numbers.
I honestly don't want him as high as he is. In reality, if I'm doing my own draft and, it's a team that I'm living with, there's four guys in the next set of five that I'm personally going to draft over Teoscar. Mm-hmm. And I could just be dead wrong, but man, the numbers just don't give me a reason to stand on that hill and say, hey, these other guys are better. But yeah, if I was doing if I'm really drafting, that's where I would go. And so to be fair, I probably should move Teoscar down just because I really do feel that way. And you know, if I'm doing my rankings, I feel like they should have more of a Dave feel to them. So I don't have it up live this time like I did last week. Last week I had the rankings up because I went from doing them to live streaming. And so Teoscar is going to have to make a trip down to at least the middle of this next tier that we're going to talk about. Just because, I mean, the numbers justify him being in this spot and maybe higher.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me personally, I'm just looking at these names that are on this next set of five, and I would take four of – well, I'd definitely take three of them over him. And I might be wrong on all of them, but that's just what I would do. So let's get to that next tier. 21 there through 25 to round it out. We got Nick's man crush, Byron Buxton, coming in 57th overall. Whit Merrifield coming in at 58th overall. Tyler O'Neill, 60th overall. Cody Bellinger with a massive drop compared to this time last year. He comes in at 67th overall. He was inside the top 10 at this time for me last year. And then Brian Reynolds, hard-hitting Brian Reynolds, comes in at 71st overall. So so real quick, with the Teoscar thing, the guys that I would draft over Teoscar in this group, do you want to guess the two that I wouldn't? Now, there's two that I would not.
Is it Buxton and O'Neill?
It is not Buxton and O'Neill. Jason?
I was going to say Bellinger and Buxton.
No,
it is.
It's Whit.
It's Whit Merrifield and Brian Reynolds.
Yeah.
So I would take Buxton, like O'Neill, and Bellinger.
Nice.
Over Teoscar?
Those guys I would take over him. I would take Teoscar over Whit and Brian Reynolds. So that means I probably am going to put Teoscar down to 22nd. Or I'm sorry, 23rd.
Yeah, I mean, if Buxton could ever just put together a full season, I mean, he could arguably push in your top 10 if he could do it.
Oh, yeah.
Stay healthy consistently.
Holy shit.
It's just when he's on the field, man, it's just like that stretch. The stretch he had in 2020, the beginning of the season, was it was like a home run every day two stolen bases.
Let's just go right here. This is 11 through 15. If Buxton is healthy and playing well, you don't consider any one of these guys over him. It's not even a choice. But when we get up to back to 6 through 10, now that's where we start to get into the, okay, this is where Buxton probably fits in. Tucker, Betts, Alvarez, Robert. But if Buxton's playing well and healthy, you're taking him over Eloy, you're taking him over Judge, you're taking him over Mullins, you're taking him over Marte, you're taking him over Riley. You're taking him over Castellanos, Hernandez, Winker, Rosarena, Marte. But that's the rub with the guy like Byron Buxton is, if you draft him, I don't know what to expect. You know, are you happy with 4 to 6 elite weeks and then the rest of the season you don't know what you're going to get, but a lot of it's going to be nothing because he's on the IL. That's the rub, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The talent is elite. He's still young, but man, you might not get anything out of him. But then you got a guy behind him like Whit Merrifield who, his ceiling is not even in the ballpark, no pun intended, of Buxton. But goddamn, if you don't know he's going to play every day, if you don't know what you're going to get out of him. So, it's what's your risk tolerance,
Yeah, he's only made more than 75 starts twice in his career.
Yeah,
so, but
when
he is healthy, it's elite. So yeah,
it's tough, man. He's a guy that you've got to just make a decision: are you okay with that risk or not? And if you're not a risky type person, then you don't own Byron Buxton,
Yeah, and then Tyler O'Neill. I mean, we've been waiting for the season he had forever, it seems like. I know I've been a big believer in him since he was with Seattle as a prospect. So it was finally good to see him, kind of break out here in 2021, both speed and power. So
yeah,
I definitely would take him over Reynolds and Whit. I'd probably take him over Whit as well. Yeah, like,
I agree.
Yeah, that's probably another rankings adjustment.
But again, it's like you're talking about one spot, so two overall.
Yeah, they're two overall. But I mean, But again, if I was drafting, I'm on the clock for whatever reason. I decided, hey, I need an outfielder, and I'm looking at Merrifield, O'Neill, Bellinger, and Reynolds. It's a decision between O'Neill and Bellinger, and then it becomes a matter of, okay, what's the rest of my team look like? Because technically I like Bellinger more because his ceiling is significant. Not that O'Neill's isn't, but Bellinger,
we've like seen
said, a year ago, he was in my top 10. A year ago, Tyler O'Neill was almost certainly outside of my top 100. They're players in completely different trajectories. But you know, that's just what,
I mean, we've seen Bellinger produce at an elite level. So it's
an MVP.
I could easily see him bouncing back and being in your top 15 next year.
Yeah, you're hoping
there'll be an article on the website in the next 2 days about Cody Bellinger.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Oh, little teaser.
A little tease.
For me, Bellinger strictly comes down to this. Do you think that he was hurt in 2020 and 2021? If you think that he was genuinely hurt and that's why his performance is what it is, then buy Cody Bellinger and overpay for his current price and don't even think twice about it. If you think that for whatever reason he is just not the player that he was in 2019, I guess I don't know what your logic or what your reason behind that is, other than he just had a really fluky year. But mm-hmm. you know, if you don't think that player exists at all anymore, then you wouldn't dare touch him, because then 24th overall here. Or 24th in the outfield ranking, 67th overall, ends up becoming a really terrible value for him, you know?
Yeah.
You know, if there was no such thing as like 2018, 2019, and Bellinger was who we've seen the last 2 years, he's not even a top 100 outfielder, you know? So, you know, it makes a big difference. So let's get to a little more fun aspect of things here. The prospects, the guys that could be all or nothing here. 1 through 5, I absolutely love all four of these guys. So 1 through 5 is going Julio Rodriguez, who is 25th overall. And then there's quite a gap to number 2, which is Riley Green. He's 61st overall. Brennan Davis, 73rd overall. And then another big drop. Robert Hassel, 124th overall, and then Corbin Carroll, 126th. So we really do have three different tiers there.
Yeah.
Like I said, Julio's coming in 25. Then we drop down to Green and Davis at 61 and 73, respectively. And then another huge drop off. Hassel, 124. Corbin Carroll, 126. So what do you guys think about the gap between those guys, but even just the names and their order?
Yeah, I like this tier of guys. Like I said, I do see the big drop. I even, you know, it's your rankings, but the Riley Green and Julio Rodriguez, I think, should be a little bit closer. Obviously, it's overall ranking, so it's a little bit hard to do that when you got MLB players in there. But
let me look and see who is ahead of Riley. Let's run through some names, and you just.
But I think Julio and Riley are in close. I mean, Julio's got the edge. Obviously, that's why he's number one, because I think he's got better power numbers. But
oh yeah, absolutely.
And then obviously, Brennan Davis, Hassel, and Corbin. Those guys are all like in that next tier too. I think Brennan Davis obviously the highest of the ceiling of those last three in the top five.
I honestly think it's Corbin Carroll has the highest ceiling.
Yeah, I've been seeing Carroll getting a lot of love.
I may just be the high man on Corbin Carroll, but man, I think Corbin Carroll, he could be number two on this list. Honestly, for me personally, I could make an argument that he's number two. I really could.
Yeah, he's been making waves actually in the circles lately. About being, you know, he's still at the low levels, so I'd like to see him, you know, make some big leaps here in 2022.
Yeah, if he stays, I mean, if he would have stayed healthy for last season,
yeah,
he would have been nice. Very well. He'd at least be fourth on this list for sure, because I mean, Brennan Davis had just a monster season. I mean, Riley Green didn't have a monster season, but he's just so good.
Right.
But if Carroll was healthy and produced at 90% of how he started, he very well is number two on this list. Very, 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 very possible.
Yeah, he brings, you know, a lot of things the other guys don't bring. He's got the speed, so I think that is obviously ultimately going to give him. And he can bring power too. He's still only 20 years old, so
that's crazy.
I think he has a lot of room.
He's been around for so long.
He can be a lot of growth here in 2022 for sure.
But yeah, and obviously we'll get. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say we can obviously get some promotions this year too, which also probably bump him up to number one. Yeah. Like Julio might graduate this year. Riley Green will almost certainly graduate this year. Yeah, Brennan Davis will probably graduate this year. So yeah, he almost just by default could jump to number one.
Man. To your point about wanting to move Riley Green up, let me just rattle off the names that are right ahead of him. And you tell me, I don't think there's an obvious name where you're like, oh yeah, he's obviously better than him.
Right.
So I'll just go from 60 up a little bit here. Okay. So 60, 59, 58. Tyler O'Neill, Luis Castillo.
We just talked about.
Yeah, Whit Merrifield, Byron Buxton, Aaron Nola, Ketel Marte, Rosarina, Winker, Giolito, Noelvé Marte, Torkelson. I mean, those are the 10 names directly ahead of him. I don't know if you can take any one. For me, Ketel Marte would be the one guy. Whit Merrifield, maybe. But I mean,
I agree. Right, that's
I think he's right where he should be.
I mean, he's still talking about top 75 overall dynasty assets. So I mean, I agree. I wouldn't take him over any of those guys you listed.
I mean,
maybe one of the pitchers, but
Whit and Ketel Marte for me, maybe it depends on my team. It would be a consideration. Right. The other guys, I just feel like you kind of have to take those other guys. And then the names obviously only get better as we move on.
Yeah.
And then just to give you a little perspective, the five names directly below him, Trevor Rogers, Nolan Arenado, Jack Flaherty, Javier Baez, Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's basically the range, you know, that we have for Riley Green, or I have for Riley Green.
No, that's good. I agree with all those.
6 through 10. We got Zach Veen, 148th overall. Alec Thomas, 155th overall. Luis Matos, 159th overall. Don't know how to say his first name. Seiya Suzuki, 160th overall. And then we go down to Mr. Beckner's namesake, Jason Dominguez, 178th overall. So not a significant gap here, really.
Yeah.
This 6 through 10 goes from 148 to 178. So everyone's packed together pretty tightly. So kind of curious to hear what you guys think of this. This is definitely a different tier, different caliber of prospects to me than the top five. All these guys as well have holes for sure. Wrong with them. Well, yeah, one of them we don't even really know. But I think that this five is – it's drastically different than the top five.
This is more of like a flyer five. Like either of these five, well, not Suzuki, could easily go into the top five of top. Like I can see Veen having such a good year that he's like a top three outfield guy next year. Or I can see him going the opposite way and being like number 20.
Well, just to be fair, Julio Rodriguez is going to graduate. Riley Green's going to graduate. Brennan Davis is going to graduate.
So just on that alone,
yeah.
If nothing changes, Zach Veen is third on that list.
That's true.
So, I mean, you know, obviously people could jump him, but by default, that would make him third overall if nothing changes and everything goes as expected, you know.
Yeah, Veen, I like him a lot, but he worries me, and unless he gets out from underneath Colorado, we know how Colorado deals with their prospects, and it's
he may not
awful.
Debut until 2027. You know,
yeah, exactly. So like,
that's funny, but it may not be
true.
The furthest thing from the truth.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean,
school kid in the Rockies organization. I mean, you know, he could be in his fourth year of arbitration before he gets called up. You know,
right? And I think, I mean. Yeah, Suzuki's in there. I've also seen some rumors that if the CBA goes on for too long, or not the CBA, but the lockout goes on too long, there's a chance that he goes back to Korea, and he's still going to want to, may not be able to even add him, but I obviously like the top 10 ranking here for the prospects. Yeah, and all the guys...
When you draft.
That's true, too. I mean, if you're having your
there
first
may just
player
be a
draft.
Rule that says anyone that was expected or reasonably expected two signs available, and so you might just draft Suzuki to not be able to touch him for a year.
Yeah.
Right.
It's tough to say.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's just, you know, because I've seen him in person, but I also, I'm super high on Alec Thomas. Local kid, and I actually saw him play for the Cougars here when they were an MIB affiliate. Good power speed combo. I think of these five, other than, you know, disregard Suzuki because he's going to be, you know, on a major league team, I think I like Alec Thomas the best, and only because Zach Veen is on Colorado. So I'd bump him up just a little bit. But you can't, when you're doing rankings, you can't base off what he's in his low minors. He, you know, he could be traded and be out of Colorado next year. So I agree with the ranking of him six. You can't rank him based on his team because we don't know where he may debut at.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think without question, I think Jason Dominguez is the most interesting name on here. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, he is probably the guy on this list that I would be most likely to draft. However, the only reason that I would draft him would draft him as a potential trade chip because assuming that we have a normal season in 2022, I see two outcomes for Jason Dominguez's value. Number one, he becomes a top two or three outfield prospect, or he drops outside of the top 25. This is the season for him. So you can get him either at a pretty nice steal right now, or you're going to just drastically overpay for him. I'll take my chances at where he's going. Odds are I'm low man in the room on Dominguez. So maybe not low man on the room, but I'm not high on him. So the odds of him being around, you know, around the 175 mark, whenever I would start to consider drafting him, are probably pretty slim, but he would be the guy that I would be most interested in drafting, but it wouldn't be because I believe in him. It would be because I'm taking the shot that I can turn around and get a top, you know, 75, top 50, you know, or top, you know, 100 asset for him by flipping him to somebody when his value is maybe what I would consider to be like his peak.
I actually just flipped him in 30 Rock.
Yeah, I saw that. What did you get?
Yelich and Tim Hill. But more, it was more than just Jason Dominguez. Yeah, I mean, I'm at the point now in 30 Rock where I can't just keep sitting on all these prospects. I probably could have held out longer and gotten a better deal, but at some point in 30 Rock, the replacement level of an MLB player like Yelich, I think, is way higher than waiting 6 years, 5 years, maybe 4 years for Jason Dominguez. Again, like I said,
your team is rebuilding, is not?
Yes, it is.
So,
I'm getting to the point.
And I'm flipping Yelich now. I mean, there's no way you're keeping Christian Yelich in a rebuild, right?
So I'm already on the verge of rebuilding now. Like I've already. Oh, I got. Sorry, this is not a bad blockbuster name, but I also got Jason Hayward in the deal too. But again, when you're looking at teams in 30 Rock, I feel like you can't just put Yelich in. Like he's still a top 100 level. And I think his value goes up in a league like 30 Rock when you have 30 teams. You know, in a 12-team, 15-team league, Yelich isn't going to get you like that. I wouldn't do this deal in a 15-team league. But with it being a 30-team league, I feel like guys that are giving you middle, even higher-end value in the MLB level is worth more than just a bunch of flyer prospects.
But the question remains, though, being a rebuild, though, do you have any intention on keeping Christian Yelich, or is he just going
to be? Yeah, so I'm already, that's what I'm saying. I'm already turning the page from rebuild into.
He's trying to win now.
No, yes.
He's moving towards winning now.
Yes.
Do you want to take a stab at where Christian Yelich falls in my rankings?
In
just overall.
Overall?
So okay. we've already determined. Like, so. Dominguez is what, 178?
78, yep. So, I'd say you have Yelich somewhere between 75 and 100 overall.
107.
111.
Ah, that was so close.
So, to be fair, you know, you traded 178 for 111 and some spare change. So, you know, that's fair.
Value-wise, it adds up.
Yeah, so value-wise, it makes sense as long as your team is actually going to compete. If it's not, then
you can always flip them.
That's where I would say, well, let me rattle off some prospects then that are in the Christian Yelich zone.
Again, I'm also not like you, I'm not high on Dominguez. I don't think, you know, yeah. like, we got tweets coming out that saying he's the next Babe Ruth, and the guy's 17 years old. Like,
right.
I don't think, you know, I'm not that high on him. I don't think he's going to, you know, he could be. I'm not sure, but I don't think, you know, again, I don't think I'm not as high as everybody else is.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I just was just curious because a trade like that really depends on where your team sits, you know, like.
Right. And that's when I made that trade, in my mind, that's why I updated the trade block and I got offers for many of my prospects. And I've come to the point now where, like, I also have like 8 picks in this year's first year player draft. So at some point, I got to start packaging these prospects into MLB talent. You know what I mean? Like, whether it be a 30-year-old, a 24-year-old. Again, our 30 rock is so deep, but our starting lineups are only that of a Major League Baseball. You know what I mean? There's no corner, there's no middle, there's only 3 outfielders, there's only one DH. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like.
Yeah, I got you. All right. Well,
what are the other. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, let's head on out of here. We just crossed the 1 hour mark. And yeah. I meant to keep this close, closer to 30 to 45 minutes at the worst. Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's a great conversation. And when we're doing pitching, when we're doing pitching and when we're doing outfield, we have to go deeper than 10 guys. So these are going to naturally go a little on the long side, and it's a great conversation because it's the off season. So,
you know,
when we're talking about rankings and stuff, I mean, they're just as valuable now as in the middle of the season. Cause now you don't have anything to do but trade. And a lot of people will use these rankings for those reasons to say, hey, I got Jason Dominguez and this guy's offered me Christian Yelich. God, I don't really know how good of a deal that is or not. Well, let me go check out these rankings. Well, holy shit. Yelich is, you know, this many spots higher. Well, why? I really need to reconsider that or whatever. But yeah, so hey, anyone that's catching this on YouTube, do us a favor real quick and, you know, hit that like button for us. Really does help us out.
And subscribe.
If you're not subscribed to the Fantasy Six Pack, do so. For those that are not aware, I think as of the other day, we were at like 425 subscribers. We've got a giveaway at the 500 mark for a Jerry Jeudy signed mini helmet, which I think is super.
Subscribe.
I think that's super cool. So when we hit 500, someone's going to get that, you know, Jerry Jeudy signed mini helmet. And I think that's a super awesome thing. We've got some things in mind that I've been talking to Joe about for the 1,000 subscribers. So I know we're a ways from that, but can't get to 1,000 until we get to 500.
Exactly.
Another fun thing that I don't want to give too much information away on, but just some things that are in the works. We are looking at a partnership, kind of, with a name that people know in the fantasy baseball industry. So keep an eye out for that. It may or may not include a fantasy six-pack specific league where you may get an opportunity to play with myself or Jason or Nick and have an opportunity to win a pretty sweet prize, which may or may not be a piece of signed memorabilia. But some pretty cool stuff that is very much in the works that I think a lot of people will be excited about. And it'll be a nice little next step for Fantasy Six Pack to do this. And so that's about all I'll say until we have some more details or actually make an announcement. But Jason and Nick know that you will be a part of this, whether you want to or not. And so maybe offline I can give you a little more details just in case not all of it comes exactly to fruition. I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it officially out loud, but I don't mind giving you guys a little bit of details. You guys are going to think it's sick as hell. So with that being said, I appreciate you guys taking the time and either catching us here live or listening to this on whatever platform that you chose to do so. So on behalf of Mr. Beckner and Mr. Zanaboni, we will see you folks next week.
Can't wait.
See ya.